Good evening, everyone. Open your Bible with me, please, to Hebrews 6. One more time, Hebrews chapter 6, as we close this opportunity for us to think about hope by thinking particularly this evening, I want us to consider especially some ideas that will help us to share the hope that we have. And I should say a word or two here about I was so hopeful that eventually there would be some coffee up here, and now there's just a first of all, there's a water bottle with the label on it that says coffee, and it is sitting in a coffee mug. And I would like to just note that Jesus said something about fake religion, where you have the outside looking so good, but the inside, you cleanse the outside of the mug, I believe is how that reads, and inside there's just a water bottle. So I think maybe I should stay longer and do some preaching on hypocrisy, but I am certain, I just am delighted, Jerry and Marnita have made sure that I have real coffee, and it actually says here, no coffee, no worky, and so I'm going to adapt that to say no coffee, no preachy. How about that? I'm a little concerned that if I drink coffee, we may be here till midnight, and I don't know if all of you will be awake, but I will. I certainly will be able to sustain that. I appreciate all of those gestures so very much. I appreciate your kindness all this week, all the food that I've eaten, which is just way too much, and the hospitality that I have known, and your kindness and your encouragement in so many ways. This church means so much to so many people. I appreciate our brother's prayer. This church has stood as a lighthouse for a long time and will stand for a long time to come, and has a tradition of outstanding preaching. And I'm delighted that Brother Darrell is here continuing that, and I know that you're glad to have him here, and he's working with you, and this church just continues to mean so much in the cause of Christ. It has meant a lot for me then to be here and to have a chance to be with you. I had great memories from when I was here before, and you did not disappoint at all. I expected to find people eager to be in the Word of God, and that is just exactly what we've seen, what I've seen the whole time that I'm here. And I'm especially, if you wonder, Mark's especially glad to be here. I am really glad to be here because of the young lady sitting right there behind Darrell in front of Brother Lyndon, because I was able to go and pick up Dina. She's been with her mom the last couple of days and helping her. Her mom is 90 and doing well for 90 years old, but it was good for Dina to get to spend some time with her mom. But I'm awfully glad to have her back and for her to be here with me tonight. So let's read in the Word of God. Could say lots of things about that for a long time, but we've come to think about the things of the Lord. Let's try. Let's have a sweet coffee. Wow, and that cup really does keep it good and hot. How about that? In Hebrews chapter 6, my hope has been realized. Let's think about hope. In Hebrews 6, please, verse 18. By two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. We have talked about and connected with the biblical idea of hope so much, and we've talked about God working in us and through us and how we count upon the Lord and how that makes all the difference. But I do want us to think a little bit about sharing that hope with others. It's not enough for us to have hope in here. It's got to get out of here. It's got to be part of our lives, part of what we're talking about, part of what we are helping other people to come to see. Unfortunately and regrettably, oftentimes we start to talk about that, everybody gets a little bit nervous. That whole idea of being a missionary. Whoa, I don't want to be a missionary. I mean, being a missionary means you're like a preacher or a teacher and you're going to a foreign land or a foreign culture. You have to learn a foreign language. And maybe you're in a place where preaching and teaching is dangerous and difficult, and preachers get to talking about doing that kind of thing, and it doesn't take very long until someone's thinking, you know, I'm kind of busy this week. I've got to wash my goldfish, and I have a whole lot of other important things to be. I just can't be doing that missionary thing. Well, I want you to look at the text, please, with me in Matthew, the 28th chapter. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus says here, as he talks about being a disciple and what being a disciple is going to be all about, he gives the original charge in Matthew 28 and verse 19, to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That is a charge to the apostles, but it's not just a charge to the apostles. It's about what we are as the people of God, because when we know this hope, we want to share that with other people. But how do you do that? Being a missionary in New Testament times meant going thousands of miles, oftentimes on foot or maybe in a ship, and we think about Paul being blown off course and all the things that go with it. That's complicated and hard to do. But I want to challenge you to think about being a missionary in our society today. I want you to think about being a digital missionary. I want us to talk about the tools that we have at our disposal as a result of the internet. And as a result of those devices that we're all carrying in our pocket or in our purse, how can we use our smartphones? How can we use social media? How can we use all that's at our fingertips and that we're using to check the sports scores and to connect with people and to see the weather and to share funny dog videos? How can we use all of that for the kingdom of God? Have you thought about that? How could I go and make disciples without ever having to get off my couch? How could I be a digital missionary? I'm going to share with you a couple of ideas this evening that I think will help us go into the 21st century. To take the technology that we have today, and let's be honest, sometimes when we talk about technology, especially computers and internet and social media, we just have a lot of bad things to say about that. What if we took all that bad stuff and used it for good? What if we were digital missionaries for Christ? Let me share with you three ideas that I think will help us in that connection and will help us to share our hope. So I'm going to start here with three steps, and step one is to recognize that not everybody can be a missionary. Now, you may be thinking, wait, I thought we were going to talk about being a missionary. Hold on, let me show you what I mean. Look in Acts the 13th chapter. In Acts 13 and verse 1, this is the original missionary tour. In Acts 13 and in verse 1, there was in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who was a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord, and while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit, well, gracious, maybe I need coffee. I went to the water, Daryl, and look what happened to me. Better. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now I need you to notice that this came out of the large church at Antioch, and I need you to notice not everybody went. Not everybody went. Barnabas and Paul went, not the whole church. I think one of the great misconceptions of Christianity is that everybody's supposed to be a missionary. If you're a real Christian, you'd be going to the Amazon. If you're a real Christian, you'd be going to some place where they're strange and weird, like California. If you're a real Christian, you'd be that kind of missionary. But that isn't what James says. In James chapter 3 and verse 1, James says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." James doesn't say that everybody is called to be a missionary. James doesn't say that everybody should be a preacher. In fact, in all the places that Paul and Barnabas and then Paul and Silas go, they establish churches at Thessalonica and Philippi and Corinth. And in all of those places, as Paul writes letters to them, Paul never says, "Everybody up, everybody evacuate the church, everybody get out, and let's all go on missionary trips." No, that's not the case at all. And so I want to start by saying, I don't think everybody is called to be a missionary, that everybody has the skill set to go to places and plant churches where there isn't a church and do all of that kind of work. But I want to introduce you to somebody, and I want you to think with me about this particular young man. That's Ryan Kaji, K-A-J-I. He is 11 years old. And last year, He made $30 million on his YouTube channel. Ryan Kaji is an influencer. He's been on YouTube for a long time. What he does is he unboxes toys, and then he plays with the toys, and then he tells whether he likes the toy or not. And there's a lot of parents and grandparents who, before they sink their money in an expensive toy, go watch Ryan Kaji to see, hey, is that going to be a good toy for my kid? Is that going to be enjoyable? Well, let's just see. We'll watch Ryan play with the toy. Now, right there, it tells us how many times that video has been viewed. If you can't see that, I'll just blow it up for you. That video has been viewed 78 million times. Just that one. 78 million times. Ryan Kaji has 32 million followers, subscribers to his YouTube channel. And his videos have been viewed literally over 50 billion, billion with a B, times. When you have that kind of audience and you have that kind of pull, all kinds of toys arrive at your front door for free, and the advertising revenue is people are clicking on that and looking at that. That's why Ryan Kaji is worth $30 million. Professional parenting tip: the next time your kid says, I want to raise an allowance, start a YouTube channel. $30 million. We're waiting for you, son. Get busy like Ryan Kaji. Now, I want you to look at Matthew 5 with me, please. Look over in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Maybe I can't be a missionary, you're thinking, but notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 as part of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, I'm reading there in verse 14. Jesus says there, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Ryan Kaji is called an influencer, a social media influencer. Do you know what Jesus just talked about in Matthew 5, 14, 15, 16? He talked about your influence, that you should have influence for the kingdom of God. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. So it may well be that you're not a missionary, but could you get on social media and have influence? A couple of years ago, in 2008, only about 10% of Americans had a social media account. Wow, has that changed? Right now, 88% of 18 to 29-year-olds have social media. And 78% of 30 to 49-year-olds have social media. 69% of 50 to 64-year-olds are on social media. And even people over 65, 40% of people over 65 have a social media account. You want to have some influence? I can show you where people are. I can show you where you can go and connect with people and let your light shine. Social media is dominating our world. 74% of people use Facebook every single day. 72% of people are on YouTube every day. 63% of people are on Instagram every single day. It is everywhere. It is pervasive. And a huge block of people are on that all the time. So while you may not be able to be a missionary, could you be an influencer? Could you be an influencer on social media for the kingdom of God? Now, I know when I say that, people have all kinds of things to say about that. For example, people say, well, I'm just not on social media. Sometimes people say that almost like they're bragging. Can I ask you a question? Why not? If 74% of people are on social media, why aren't we on social media too? so that we can be there with the gospel. Can you imagine a missionary going to Africa, and here he's trying to evangelize in a village, and in the center of the village there's a bulletin board. And everybody puts notices on the bulletin boards. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they've got some notices there. And the Hindus, they've got some notices there. And the Muslims got some notices there. We say the gospel preachers, you'll put a notice on the bulletin board? Oh, I don't want to fool with that bulletin board thing. Having to print out a flyer, thumbtacks. I can't be doing all of that kind of stuff. Besides, if I was on the bulletin board, I'd probably end up standing down in the middle of the village all day reading the bulletin board. What would we say to that guy? Hey, get on the bulletin board. Everybody looks at the bulletin board. Post things about the church, about the kingdom of God. You're preaching. Post on the bulletin board. So he says, but I don't know how to use social media. Could you learn? Could you learn? One of my elders is past 80, but his truck broke down and he needed to know how to fix his truck. Got on YouTube, typed into YouTube, alternator, 1984 Chevy pickup truck. There were 17 videos of guys replacing their alternator. Don watched all that. Boom! Learned how to use it. Need to make his truck run. My mom, who is older, and if I say how old she is, then we'll get that whole speech about you're not too big to spank, so I can't be going there. But my mom is on social media. And when her granddaughter said, if you'll get on Instagram, you can see pictures of your great-grands, my mother said, show me how to use Instagram. And I see all the time that she's posting something from the church or a verse of scripture, along with those pictures of the grands. Well, there's so much bad on the internet. Yes, there is. Isn't it time that somebody said, we'll put some good on the internet? The reality is, everybody's on the internet. Why aren't we on the internet with the kingdom of God? Why aren't we doing more than posting funny cat videos and memes about this and complaining that the weatherman's got it wrong? How does the weatherman ever get it wrong in the summer of Texas? Tomorrow it will be hot. Guaranteed. It's the easiest job in the world. We get on and complain. They didn't make my coffee right at the coffee shop. I'm so unhappy about this. I'm so mad about this. When are we going to talk about the most important thing? When are we going to talk about the kingdom of God, because we want to be an influence for the kingdom? Now, if you're thinking in that direction, then maybe we ought to think a little bit about how to do that. And I would suggest to you that's going to begin when we start thinking like a missionary. Thinking like a missionary. Look over in Acts 16. In Acts the 16th chapter and verse 3, in Acts 16 and verse 3, here we're reading about Paul and Timothy, and Paul's on a missionary trip. I don't think I've ever had coffee in the pulpit while preaching, and I'm getting to where I really like it a lot. Dana, we're in so much trouble now. Brethren and Burnett have completely spoiled me. In Acts 16 and verse 3, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew his father was a Greek. Whoa, 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 whoa. He did what? Yeah, they had a little surgery. Reckon how come they did that? Because when Paul is preaching, where's the first place he goes? First place when he's on a missionary trip, where's the first place he goes when he gets to town? Goes to the synagogue. Going to find a bunch of like-minded people there. People who know something about the Bible that Paul uses, the Old Testament. People who are looking for the Messiah. Paul needs to go to the synagogue. You can't go to the synagogue if you're not circumcised. Timothy has to submit to that, so that he can be effective as a missionary. That's what it is to be a missionary. You do some things, you change some things about yourself so that you can reach into the community that you've come to visit, that you've come to teach and preach the gospel. For you and me as digital missionaries, that's just going to be the area that we're around, the people that we know, our community. But we need to think about that. A missionary, for example, is going to learn the culture. Learn what is taboo, what to do, how to do. A missionary is going to learn the food. A missionary is going to learn the language. A missionary is just going to do all they can to accommodate themselves to their community so they can be effective in reaching people. Look in 1 Corinthians 9 with me, please. In 1 Corinthians 9, in 1 Corinthians the 9th chapter, Paul talks about this when he says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19, "Though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them." To Jews, 1 Corinthians 9, 20, "To Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews." Can you imagine Paul going and sitting in a Jewish home? He wants to talk to them about the gospel. He says, "Hey, how about some bacon? We get some bacon in here? What's wrong with you people? I want some bacon." That'd be offensive, wouldn't it? Paul would never do that. "To Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God. I'm under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that I by all means might save some." Is that my attitude? Is that your attitude? "I'm going to do everything I can to accommodate myself into this culture because I know people are watching me and I don't ever want to give offense or do anything that would wreck my influence for the gospel." Think about maybe a missionary that goes to the Far East, to one of those cultures where as a sign of respect they bow. What would we think of a missionary who said, "Oh, please with the bowing. Can we just stop with that? It's just awkward. I'm not doing that anymore." How effective would he be? That wouldn't be very effective, would it? Several years ago, I got to go on a missionary trip. I got to go and preach in South Africa. We were preaching in the Republic of South Africa in the area known as Zululand. One of the traditions there in Zululand is when they have a potluck, the ladies fill your plate. You go down the line, and I was like, "Well, give me a plate." No, my plate was moving for me, and sisters were putting all kinds of stuff on it, which I had no idea what it was. And then you get at the end, and there's your plate. What would have happened if I said, "Oh, now, wait a minute, give me that. I don't want any of that. Oh, that didn't look good to me at all. I'll help myself. I'm a big boy now. Yeah, give me that spoon." Can you imagine? Can you imagine how ineffective that would be? How that would blunt your influence with the people of that culture? So what about when we sit down and we're looking at social media and we're on our Facebook account, we're on our Instagram account? Are we thinking like a missionary? "I don't want to do anything that would trip up my influence." Or, like I often see, are we driving maybe a political agenda? You ever see those posts? "Oh, this candidate, he's ruining America. And if you voted for him, you're part of the problem." What about all the people who see that post who voted for that candidate? What kind of influence are you having with them now? Or what about whatever the latest hot button issue is? Whether it's COVID or this election or this scandal. Whatever. What about posting your hot take? "I'll tell you what, this is how it is, and if you think differently, you're an idiot." You see those kind of posts? I see those kind of posts. What about people who are on the other side of that issue? What are they thinking now of me, now that I've just blasted them? Or what about those giant letter posts? You know the ones I'm talking about? "If you're not baptized, you're not a Christian." I can't tell you how many people have come down to Westside where I'm at and said, "Oh, I saw giant letters on Facebook that said, if you're not baptized, you're not a Christian. I guess I'd better get baptized." Nobody says that. It's just offensive. It's hurtful. It pushes people away. We're not thinking like a missionary. We're offending and destroying our influence over politics, over what some foolish celebrity did, over what the local school board just said or the governor did or they talked about in the news. Can I ask you this? What do we want to convert people to? To our political views? to our views on the bond election, to our views on whatever's being said on the news, or do we want to convert people to Jesus Christ? Are we thinking like a missionary? Or when we get behind social media, have we decided to throw away the opportunity to be an influencer for the kingdom of God because we're angry about some of the issues that we see going on around us? I guarantee you, Paul saw lots of things that he was angry about. In Acts 17, he saw all of those idols, and Paul starts his sermon by saying, "What a bunch of blockheads you people are, worshiping stone. You people are so ignorant." No. In Acts 17, how does that sermon start? In Acts the 17th chapter, Paul says in verse 22, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious." He begins with a compliment. He compliments them even though they're in error. He starts by saying, "Appreciate that you care about supernatural things. And I want to talk to you about the truth about supernatural things." If you thought about that, thinking like a missionary, if we would do that, what could we do then? Well, then thirdly, we could post on social media very strategically. Very strategically. Look in 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 5, the Apostle Paul talks about his preaching strategy when he says this in verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 5, there the apostle says, For what we proclaim, 2 Corinthians 4, 5, is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Do you know why social media is so popular? Why so many people are on social media? Well, that goes all the way back to the original social media. The original social media page was called, remember, MySpace. And it was exactly that. It was a place for me to talk about my favorite subject in the whole world. Me. MySpace. Look at me. Look where I'm going on vacation. Look at my amazing new car. Look at this amazing coffee that I'm drinking. Look at me, 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 me. And lots of social media is still all about me. Facebook, look at my face. I'm going to be showing you how great my life is. Look at me. But if we're going to be digital missionaries, it's not going to be about me, is it? Paul says we don't proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Christ. See how this is a radical new way of thinking about social media? That instead of thinking of it as a way of promoting myself, I'm going to see it as a tool to influence people for the gospel. Now, I don't want you to imagine for a moment that that means I'm never going to post anything except maybe Bible verses and sermon links and all kinds of spiritual stuff. No, no. Missionaries go somewhere, they become part of that culture. Their kids play on the Little League team, and they shop where everybody else shops. They want people to know that they're involved in the community, that they're part of what's going on, that they're real people. And we're going to post stuff like that. We're going to post stuff to show folks we're real people. This is a post from a little while back. Dean and I were driving through Austin, and there's an amazing cheese shop there called Antonelli's Cheese Shop. And I had seen about a billion commercials for Antonelli's Cheese Shop on the college football games this year. And so finally I Googled up, where's Antonelli's Cheese Shop? I figured it was probably in Wisconsin. I thought, one of these days we'll be in Wisconsin. I'll go to Antonelli's Cheese Shop. Well, bam, there it is. It's in Austin, Texas. Told Dana, we're going to Antonelli's Cheese Shop. So we went in there and we ate a bunch of cheese. It was amazing. It was really cool. It was really fun. Got a lot of conversations. People saw that post. If you have grandkids, you post a picture of your grandkids. There's Dina and me and two of our grandkids, and we're all decked out in Dallas Cowboy gear because we're Christians, and we're excited about the Cowboy game and all the things that are going on. We're trying to say to people that we're part of the community and that we cheer for the team and we shop and we go places and we do things, that we're real folks. It's a picture of me and my grandson after church one Wednesday night. He had his hair all snarfed up in the middle like that. Probably ought to do my hair that way. I think that'd be real successful in some ways. But all of that is to say that we want to tell people we're part of the community. We understand our culture. And we're working to be influential in that culture because we care and we care about people. But we want to be very aware that we're being watched. That people are looking at us to see who we are and what we are and what we're doing as part of the kingdom of God. So while we're going to do some posting like this, that is certainly not going to be all the posting that we ever do. We're going to post strategically about Jesus, about the gospel. We're going to do things to say more than, look at my grandkids. We're going to do more than say, hey, look, the weather's been hot. Wow, that's such an original post these days. We're going to do more than that. We're going to do something for Jesus. Let me see if I can point you in a couple of directions here, a couple of ideas that'll help you. First and foremost, you can't post anything that's going to contradict your mission. If people see you posting profanity, if people see you posting partying and revelry and drunkenness and carousing, people see that kind of stuff. How can you be an influence for the kingdom? The world has a word for that, don't they? Yeah, it starts with an H. It's the word hypocrite. Look at James 1 with me. In James chapter 1, in James chapter 1 and verse 27, I love what James says. This book is just so full of practical admonitions. In some ways, James 1, the whole book of James, is kind of the New Testament version of the book of Proverbs. In James 1 and verse 27, James says there, religion that's pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Don't want to put anything on my social media account that says I'm part of this world. It's value system. Things that glorify sin. Oh, look at my favorite TV show. Then someone sees my post and they go watch that favorite TV show. It's full of filthy language. It's full of sexual immorality. It's full of violence. What's happening to my influence? I need to be careful about that. And then beyond just that, I think really that first idea, that's just the bottom line. But now we're building beyond that. What could I post that would show people I am a follower of Christ? What can I put on my social media page that says, hey, I'm interested in the gospel. I care about Jesus. My life is centered on this book. What kind of things could I say on social media that will help people see that? Could I post verses of Scripture? Could I post, this is what I read today, my daily Bible reading, and it really helped me? Could I check in when I come to church? And then that just shows up automatically. And people just know, oh, wow. He's a regular churchgoer. He's down Sunday and Wednesday. Just always posting that he's there. Now then, I can move even beyond that. What can I post that would help people be more interested in being a Christ follower? Now we're talking about trying to engage. We're talking about trying to help people, maybe by looking at needs. There's so much loneliness in this world. You start talking about the Oaks West Church of Christ being a family. So thankful for my family in Christ. Boy, that's engaging people. So much hopelessness in this world. Here's a message that will give you some hope. See how that's engaging? You're inviting people now to think beyond just, I'm a Christian. Now you're getting them to engage why you're a Christian. What is it about the kingdom of God that drives your life? Why is this so important in your life? What kind of things could we post? And then, of course, this is so important. How can I be a positive influence in a negative world? Let me just tell you right now, we've got all the negativity we need and then some. Nobody's cutting on social media saying, I just hope I see somebody complaining about something. Ooh, I wonder if there's anything going wrong in this world and somebody will be ranting and raving about it. I hope so. I love to read all that stuff. No. There's more than enough unhappies to cover us. We're good. The pagans are covering that. What if we did something different? Look at Philippians 4. In Philippians 4 and verse 8. in Philippians 4 and in verse 8. The Apostle Paul here challenges the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 8 and says this. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." What if we took everything that we're going to post and we shove it through Philippians 4:8 before it gets online? That make a change? Suddenly people might be looking to see your post because it just is always something that brings a smile to my face. Always something that lifts me up. Always something that encourages me. I just always see things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent. Things that are worthy of praise. See, that's strategic posting. That's thinking about, I'm a missionary. I have influence. And this little device in my hands, this laptop, this tablet, this keyboard, can be used for the kingdom of God to bring people to Christ. That's what it means to be a digital missionary. Let me just share with you some very practical ideas if this intrigues you at all. Someone, I've preached this lesson in several different places. Someone says, "Well, Mark, it sounds like you have to be on social media." Nobody's saying that. Social media is not for everybody. And particularly if you have kids, you need to be very careful and wise in your decisions about that. But as we saw, a gazillion people are on social media. And if you wish that you had an outlet, a way to share the hope that you have without being offensive, without having to grab somebody by the front of the shirt and say, "Now you listen here, I'm going to tell you about Jesus." Social media provides an incredible opportunity to influence people for the gospel. Think about trying that. Here's some ideas that might help you in that regard. First and foremost, remember, shorter is better. You just get to post it on Facebook, get to post it on Instagram. Nobody's reading your 9-paragraph dissertation. Facebook and social media, they're scrolling. They're rolling by. Too long, didn't read that. Shorter is better. And of course, a big part of that is you just need to be yourself. You need to be genuine. You need to be who you are. Sometimes we just click like on other people's stuff, or maybe share. We're going to share Daryl's stuff. We're going to share something else that we saw. That can be good, but the algorithms and so forth that work behind the scenes, the man behind the curtain who's pulling the levers for Facebook, if you write something yourself, they'll always push that out first. Just repeating other people's stuff, that doesn't ring the bell for them. They want to see what you have to say. So if you're going to share something, say, "I listened to this sermon, loved it. I read this verse today, really powerful." You say something about you. And let's be careful here. Not going to be judgmental. Not going to push people away. Not going to call people names. Not going to be divisive. Not going to be ugly. Matthew 7 and 12, the golden rule, that operates on social media. We need to be carrying that with us all the time. I don't like it when people are mean to me. I don't like it when people call me judgmental. I don't like that kind of, I can't do that. Don't do that on social media. And that means we're not going to argue. We're not going to argue. How many of the Proverbs talk about arguing with a fool? Waste of time. You get to posting about the Bible, and here come the trolls. "Oh, you believe the Bible. The Bible's just a man-made book." So now we start responding. "Well, you know, you say the Bible's a man-made book, but what about this?" And then somebody else chimes in, and somebody else chimes in, and then the troll chimes in, and now you got this long thread. Nobody can read all that stuff. "Hey, 5 comments back, you said this, and so I'm going to respond." Ah, it's crazy. That's crazy. You can't debate religion on Facebook. It's like walking into a crowded restaurant and yelling to someone on the other side, "Hey, you want to talk about baptism?" And they're yelling back. You can't do it. Somebody wants to argue with you, message them. "Love to talk with you more about how I know the Bible is the Word of God. I'll send you some material. Let's private message about that." But we're not going to argue in front of the whole wide world, make a big mess, all right? Can't emphasize enough. Get a picture. get a picture. It doesn't matter what a picture, what the picture is. Picture of the Bible, picture of a flower, picture of a bird. Pictures cause Facebook to boost stuff. We're a very visual society. If you can add a picture to your post, more people will see that. Let's keep working here. What about a podcast? You know what podcasts are? Podcast is like a radio show that comes on your phone and you listen to it when you want to instead of when it's live on the radio. Podcasts are the hottest things on the internet right now. And what's really exciting about podcasts is that a demographic listens to podcasts that historically we have a huge issue trying to reach. That podcast demographic is men. We struggle to reach men with the gospel. The devil has convinced men that church is for sissies, that church is for women. But men listen to podcasts. More than 50% of all podcasts are consumed by men. A lot of good podcasts out there. Listen to a podcast. Share that podcast. I listened to this. This helped me. People are looking. There's so many podcasts out there. When there's a recommendation, so, I'll give that podcast a try. So think about posting a podcast. What about just saying something positive about a class? In Bible class tonight, really learn some great stuff in Exodus. Oh, Brother Daryl preached a great lesson today. Then there's the link to the website. See now, someone can click that link, listen on their own time, in privacy. Nobody's up in their face. Nobody's shoving something down their throat. But they can listen to that. Think about that. You can post that. Encourage people in that way. Just saying positive things about the church. Start the week in the best way. Oaks West Church of Christ worship this morning. A lot of people are very negative about the church. Here's somebody who likes going to church. Wow. You start saying things like that. What if somebody is looking for a church? They get to a hard place in their life and they think, you know, I ought to be in church. And they've been seeing positive posts on your Facebook page about church. What's going to happen? Where do you think they're going to show up? See how we can influence people in this way? What about daily Bible reading? You're reading your Bible every day. Get on there and say something about it. Read this chapter today. Never had seen that before. Whoa! Really was helped by this. Really was helped by that. People are very positive about Bible reading. I'm shocked at how interested people are in Bible reading. People not always that interested in church. People kind of like, you know, organized religion. Don't know about that. Always want to invite them to Westside. We're pretty disorganized. Yeah, give us a try. But people love Bible reading. People think they ought to know more about the Bible. People need some help reading the Bible. You post a Bible reading schedule. This is the schedule that I'm reading from. Read along in the Bible with me. And then, you want to get serious? Just ask. How can I pray for you today? How can I pray for you today? And then you're going to get those comments. My mama's sick. I'm looking for a job. Go pray about that, and then you message people back. I prayed for you today, and I prayed for your mother. Very specific. You want to be very specific. Not vague. I did some praying. I prayed that the Lord would bless you with an employment opportunity. I know you want to work because that pleases God. All of that positions us in people's minds as people of God, people who care about Christianity beyond just Sunday morning, people who are living it out. It is part of our lives. It helps them think of us like we were a missionary. It helps us have influence in the community. And what's amazing about all of that, it's not going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. Don't going to have to rent a TV studio and cameras and directors, production trucks. Do all that on your phone. All of that's free. And it operates 24/7, literally around the world. If we just take time to see that we've been blessed with an incredible tool that we could use for the kingdom of God. Dean and I know a wonderful couple. And he'd go to work every day, and a bunch of people there end up having some religious conversations. Brother Adam did the best he could to try to help, but that's a fracas. That's hard to make any waves in. But there'd be religious conversations about various things. Sometimes Brother Adam would say to one of his co-workers, I tell you this, my preacher preached a lesson from the Bible about that. His co-worker would say, really? He'd say, yeah, I'll email you a link. He'd email her the link. That's all he said about that. Before very long, religious conversation come up. After a while, that co-worker would come to Adam and say, you got any information about that, what the Bible says about that? Adam said, yeah, preacher talked about that. I'll send you a link. It took a year. It took a year. But one day at work, they were talking about instrumental music and worship. And Adam's co-worker turned around and said, well, the Bible says we can't have instrumental music and worship, and that's what the Bible says, and I don't even know if I believe that, but that is what the Bible teaches. And Adam knew right then she was going to obey the gospel. About 2 weeks later, she became Christian. Because he emailed stuff to her. How hard was that to do? He didn't have to get a passport. He didn't have to learn a foreign language. He didn't need a snake bite kit. He emailed sermon links. She listened, and the Word of God worked because he was being a digital missionary. I hope that the things that we've talked about this evening will help you in that regard. I hope that maybe that lights a fire in you and gives you an opportunity to see there are chances out there. There are opportunities to spread the Word of God that don't involve having to travel to far-off places and jungles and all deserts and difficult and dangerous circumstances. That right where you are, you have the capacity and capability to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. If we'll just think like a missionary, we can spread the hope of the gospel. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Lord our God, we are so thankful for the incredible tools that technology has provided for us. We ask, Father, that you bless us with wisdom and discernment to use those things in the best way. Help us, Father, not to compromise our influence so that we can use social media, email, and texting, and so many of these technological tools for your kingdom. Help us to think like missionaries because we want to propagate your word, because we want people to know your Son. It's in his name we pray. And amen. You've listened so well, and you've listened so patiently, not just tonight, but all this week. I appreciate you more than I can say. We're going to sing this invitation song, give you the opportunity to think about becoming a Christian. You sure can't help anybody else become a Christian if you're not a Christian yourself. The beginning place is to start with you. Are you a child of God? You can be baptized this evening for the remission of your sins. You can be a Christian. And then you can start telling others about how great it is to be a child of God. If you are a Christian and you're not what you ought to be, yeah, that's going to show up in your social media, isn't it? And not only is that hurting you, it's hurting all of us and our ability to be a light in this community. You need to get that straight. You need to get that fixed. The Lord's waiting for you to repent. We'll pray with you and for you as we work together to be in this community lights in a dark place. So if you're not a Christian, we'd love to help you be a Christian. If you are a Christian and need to get back on track, we'd like to help you be a better Christian. Just make your way right down front while we stand, while we sing.